If you guys don't know the story of William Tyndale, be sure, don't read it now because I'm preaching, but the little insert, take it home with you and read it because it's a great story. I mean, it's like espionage and intrigue to get the Bible printed in English because it'd never been printed in English. And I love, I think it's got the quote in here, how he's talking to a cleric in the church, basically, because the Catholic Church back then believed that nobody should be able to read the scriptures except the Catholic, like the priests and the clerics and all the uppity ups. And they said, the public isn't smart enough to deal with scripture. And Tyndale said, if God blesses me a long enough life, I will make sure that the plowboy pushing the plow knows more about the Bible than you do. And I loved it. So, and I know a lot of you appreciate the fact that we have, you know, the Bible and that you read it on a regular basis. If you don't, you know, it's good to understand how many people gave their lives, including this guy, so that we could have the Bible for in common everyday language. So take that home with you and read it. If you don't know that story, it's a great story. And I've got another story to share, which is, you know, I get email forwards, and most of the time I think it's just cheesy and stupid, but you know, every once in a while you get one, it just kind of hits you. And so it might sound cheesy, but I want to read this one to you. It's called The Blessing of Thorns. And it tells a story about a woman. It says, Sandra felt as low as the heels of her shoes as she pushed against a November gust and the florist shop door. Her life had been easy, like a spring breeze. Then on the fourth month of her second pregnancy, a minor automobile accident stole her ease. During this Thanksgiving week, she would have delivered a son. She grieved over her loss. As if it weren't enough, her husband's company threatened a transfer. Then her sister, whose annual holiday visit she coveted, called saying she could not come. What's worse, Sandra's friend infuriated her by suggesting her grief was a God-given path to maturity that would allow her to empathize with others who suffer. She has no idea what I'm feeling, thought Sandra with a shudder. Thanksgiving? Thankful for what? She wondered aloud. For a careless driver whose truck was hardly scratched when he rear-ended her? For an airbag that saved her life but took that of her child? Good afternoon. Can I help you? The shop's clerk approached, startled her. I need an arrangement, stammered Sandra, for Thanksgiving. Do you want a beautiful but ordinary? Or would you like to challenge the day with a customer favorite I call the Thanksgiving special? Asked the shop clerk. I'm convinced that flowers tell stories, she continued. Are you looking for something that conveys gratitude this Thanksgiving? Not exactly, Sandra blurted out. In the last 5 months, everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. Sandra regretted her outburst and was surprised when the shop clerk said, I have the perfect arrangement for you. Then the door's small bell rang and the shop clerk said, Hi, Barbara, let me get your order. She politely excused herself and walked toward the small workroom and then quickly reappeared carrying an arrangement of greenery, bows, and long-stemmed thorny roses. Except the ends of the rose stems were neatly snipped. There were no flowers. Want this in a box? Asked the clerk. Sandra watched for the customer's response. Was this a joke? Who would want rose stems with no flowers? She waited for laughter, but neither woman laughed. Yes, please, Barbara replied with an appreciative smile. You'd think after 3 years of getting the special, I wouldn't be so moved by its significance, but I can feel it right here, all over again, she said as she gently tapped her chest. Stammered Sandra, that lady just left with no flowers. Right, I cut off the flowers. That's the special. I call it the Thanksgiving Thorns Bouquet. Oh, come on. You can't tell me someone is willing to pay for that, exclaimed Sandra. Barbara came into the shop 3 years ago feeling very much like you feel today, explained the clerk. She thought that she had very little to be thankful for. She had lost her father to cancer, the family business was failing, her son was into drugs, and she was facing major surgery. That same year, I had lost my husband, continued the clerk, and for the first time in my life, I had to spend the holidays alone. I had no children, no husband, no family nearby, and too great a debt to allow any travel. So what did you do? Asked Sandra. I learned to be thankful for thorns, answered the clerk quietly. I've always thanked God for the good things in my life and never thought to ask him why those good things happened to me. But when bad stuff hit, did I ever ask? It took me time to learn that the dark times are important. I always enjoyed the flowers of life, but it took the thorns to show me the beauty of God's comfort. You know, the Bible said God comforts us when we're afflicted, and from his consolation we learn to comfort others. Sandra sucked in her breath as she thought about the very thing her friend had tried to tell her. I guess the truth is, I don't want comfort. I've lost a baby, and I'm angry with God. Just then, someone else walked into the shop. Hey, Phil, shouted the clerk to the balding, rotund man. My wife sent me in to get our usual Thanksgiving arrangement. 12 thorny, long-stemmed stems, laughed Phil as the clerk handed him a tissue-wrapped arrangement from the refrigerator. Those are for your wife, asked Sandra incredulously. Do you mind me asking why she wants something that looks like that? No, I'm glad you asked, Phil replied. 4 years ago, my wife and I nearly divorced. After 40 years, we were in a real mess, but with the Lord's grace and guidance, we slogged through the problem after problem. He rescued our marriage. Jenny here, the clerk, told me she keeps a vase of rose stems to remind her what she learned from thorny times, and that was good enough for me. I took home some of those stems. My wife and I decided to label each one for a specific problem and give thanks to him for what the problem taught us. As Phil paid the clerk, he said to Sandra, I highly recommend the special. I don't know if I can be thankful for the thorns in my life, Sandra said to the clerk. It's all too fresh. Well, the clerk replied carefully, my experience has shown me that thorns make roses more precious. We treasure God's providential care more during trouble than at any other time. Remember, it was a crown of thorns that Jesus wore so we might know his love. Don't resent the thorns. Tears rolled down Sandra's cheek. For the first time since the accident, she loosened her grip on resentment. I'll take those 12 long-stemmed thorns, please, she managed to choke out. I hoped you would, the clerk said gently. I'll have them ready in a minute. Thank you. What do I owe you? Asked Sandra. Nothing, said the clerk. Nothing but a promise to allow God to heal your heart. The first year's arrangement is always on me. The clerk smiled and handed a card to Sandra. I'll attach this card to your arrangement, but maybe you'd like to read it first. It read, Dear God, I have never thanked you for my thorns. I've thanked you 1,000 times for my roses, but never once for my thorns. Teach me the glory of the cross I bear. Teach me the value of my thorns. Show me that I have climbed closer to you along the path of pain. Show me that through my tears, the colors of your rainbow look much more brilliant. Isn't that a good story? I mean, usually those email forwards are just cheese, but this one, I don't know, it hit me. And I think, you know, a lot of people have tough times on Thanksgiving because, you know, we've got problems. Maybe we don't have family around. Maybe we've got whatever sorts of difficulties that we have to deal with. It's not always easy. And Christmas is coming, and I thought about this. And Thanksgiving is supposed to be a time for giving thanks for whatever. In 1 Thessalonians 5, the scripture for today, at chapter 5, verse 15, it says, See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. I remember just not too long ago when we had kids come into our house for Halloween, and you know, a lot of parents would come with the younger kids, and they'd come up, and they were just so excited to get candy. And they'd hold out their bag, and you'd put it in, and they're just, oh, it's candy. And the parents would have to remind them, now say thank you. And some of those kids would you know, they're just so excited. They got the candy off. Thank you. And they'd walk off, and those are the cute ones. And some of them were more like, you know, they'd been taught this social pleasantry, but they really didn't feel it in their heart. You know, you could kind of tell by the way they said it. They'd just be like, thank you. And then some of them wouldn't say anything at all. So I love the kids who are just so excited, and they're excited to say thank you. And you know, they're just so excited, and they love what they're getting, and so they're ready to say thank you. And others are more, you know, they're focused on like you owe them something. You know, I deserve it, so I'm not going to say thank you. And some of them, it's more like a command response thing because we're taught by parents. I mean, I'm sure some of you parents have said it, and we've heard it all the time. Say thank you, say thank you, say thank you. And if you hear it enough, well, you just get into the habit. So it just becomes a command response sort of thing. Thank you, you're welcome. And they don't really feel anything. And of course, there's some kids who aren't really thankful at all. You know, they don't really care. They just want their candy. And And I think, you know, these are just kids on Halloween, but I think that one of those attitudes is present in everybody, from young children to getting candy to teenagers to grown-ups to retired people. It's everybody. You can be 100 years old, and you've got one of those attitudes about how you feel as far as being thankful in you. And so I guess that's what I wanted to present. The question is, what kind of attitude do you have today about life, the blessings that God has graced you with, and even some of the problems that you've gone through? What's your attitude? Are you the person who's excited about the things that God is doing in your life, who's like that little kid who's like, thank you, or are you ungrateful because you didn't get exactly what you wanted? You didn't get the right type of candy, so you're not thankful. Or are you having a tough time? You're going through difficulties like the lady in the story, and so you don't think God deserves things from you because he hasn't been giving you the candy that you want or the roses that you want. Have you heard somebody say, I've heard this before, that gratitude is an attitude? Have you heard that saying? And it's more, I think, that's a nice saying, but I think it's so much more than that. I think that gratitude is a character quality. It's part of who you are. You're either a thankful person or you're not a thankful person. If you're a grateful person, it shows. I mean, in everything you do, and in, not just when you say thank you, but in the things that you do in response to good times and bad, it comes out. If you aren't a grateful person, it'll come out of your typical behavior. It shows in everything that you do, and it's a character trait that you choose whether or not to possess. You get to decide, am I going to be a thankful person or am I going to be an ungrateful person? You decide whether to be thankful or not. And, of course, you can fake it. I mean, you can paste on a fake smile and say the words thank you with an ungrateful heart. I mean, you can be totally unthankful and still say the words. So you can pretend, but you know what's in your heart. I mean, all of us know exactly what's going on inside of us, and you control it. So needless to say, thankfulness is not just something you say or do, even. It's part of who you are. And Leviticus, I've got a bunch of verses that talk about thankfulness. Leviticus 22:29 is my first. And it says, when you bring a thanksgiving offering to the Lord, sacrifice it properly so that you will be accepted. And Leviticus has rules about all the sacrifices for you know, if you have to go and repent of something that happened, you know, a mistake you made in the ceremony, and you've got to go and make a sacrifice. And so there are specific regulations laid out as to what kind of animal you could bring or what kind of sacrifice you could bring, how it was supposed to be slaughtered and cut up and burned, and all the different rules and regulations. And Leviticus 22 talks about a thanksgiving offering. If you want to go and tell God that you're thankful for whatever, it says sacrifice it properly so that you will be accepted. And what I think is interesting is you had to do it properly, not so that your gift would be accepted, but so that you would be accepted. You want to go tell God thank you. Make sure you do everything properly so that you will be accepted. And we're called to keep offering sacrifices of thanks and give our gratefulness to God, even though we don't have the sacrificial system where we kill animals. But we're called to continue to do that today. And in fact, thanks is part of the entire point of the sacrificial system. Showing thanks to God for the kind of God he was and the mercy that he shows was one of the reasons for even having sacrifices to begin with. In Psalm 50, and I've got quite a few psalms, in Psalm 50 at verse 13, God gives his opinion on sacrifices. It says, do I eat the meat of bulls? Do I drink the blood of goats? Make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep the vows you made to the Most High. Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory. Isn't that interesting? God doesn't eat the bulls that are sacrificed, doesn't drink the blood. He says, make thankfulness your sacrifice to God, and keep your vows that you've made to him. And if you do that, then call on me when you're in trouble, and I'll rescue you, and you will give me glory. And if you go down a few verses to verse 23, still chapter 50, it says, but giving thanks is a sacrifice that truly honors me. If you keep to my path, I will reveal to you the salvation of God. So again, he says the same thing, that giving thanks is what makes God happy. That a thankful heart, you know, not just saying thank you, but being a thankful kind of person, and if you keep to his path, and to reveal his salvation to you. And then if you want to jump ahead to the New Testament in Hebrews, it kind of explains some of what was going on in the old sacrificial system a little bit more. In Hebrews chapter 13, at verse 10, it says, "We have an altar from which the priests in the tabernacle have no right to eat. Under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. So let us go out to him outside the camp and bear the disgrace that he bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to his name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God." So that's just a backup of what the Psalms were saying, that God still, he wants thankfulness. And we are to make sacrifice of who we are and how we live our lives. It's not just you go and say thank you. It's that you show your thanks by doing good and sharing with those in need. And those are the kind of sacrifices that God is pleased by. I don't know if you've noticed, but when you choose to be thankful, when you make that decision that I'm going to be a thankful person, the more you do it, the more thankful you become. It's like a habit that gets built up, because sometimes it's hard to be thankful. I mean, especially when those hard times hit, when life is difficult and it's just thrown curveballs at you and you just don't feel very thankful. But you know, you say, the right thing to do is for me to be thankful anyway. The right thing for me to do is to turn to God and say, thank you for watching out for me and for taking care of me and through these hard times for being there. And I'm going to say thank you even though I don't really feel like it. And the more you do that, the easier it becomes. So that as the life troubles keep, because life's troubles always keep coming at us. I mean, life doesn't stop. And so as those problems keep coming at us and you build that habit, it gets easier and easier to turn to God and say, thank you. I'm so thankful for you. And it's also smart to remember to direct your thankfulness to the right person. And in James 1:17, it says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens." So everything good, everything that's perfect has come from God. All the blessings of your life, big or little, come from God. He's blessed us tons. And once in a while we face those difficult problems and it's like we forget all about the good things that God has given us. And so it's important to remember that everything good in your life that you've ever had has come from God. So when you're being thankful, direct it to the right person. So when you want to learn thankfulness, if you want to, you know, if you're having a hard time with being thankful, if you've had some of those difficulties, if you want to turn your heart towards the one who gives you the gifts, then you remember God is the source of all good things, and give him the thanks, and don't twist the truth. Don't let your pride turn thanks into self-exaltation. Because there's some things that, you know, we look at myself and look how great I am and thank you, God, that this is how. And as a matter of fact, Jesus talked about that with one of the Pharisees in Luke. In Luke chapter 18, he was telling a story. Luke 18 at verse 9. Says, "Then Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and scorned everyone else. He says, 2 men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a despised tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and he prayed this prayer, 'I thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income.' But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, 'Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted.'" And I want to point out that Jesus wasn't upset because this guy was not cheating and not sinning and not committing adultery. That's not what bothered. Jesus says that's good. I want you to not sin and not lie and not commit adultery and to do all these good things and avoid all the bad things. That was good for him to do, but he was exalting himself for it. He was saying, look how good I am, when we all know that the ability to live that kind of a life comes directly from God. If it were not for God's help, we'd be up a creek. None of us would be able to live that life. So when we're living properly, when we're obeying God and avoiding sin every day, we need to turn to God and say, thank you for helping this to be possible. Thank you for making this life available to me. And it's good to remember that God gives out of his kindness. We never have done anything that makes us deserve God to die for us. I mean, there's nothing that you can do. I mean, imagine it. All the good that you can do in the world, if you spent your entire life just being over and above the good things that you did, would it still earn you the right for Jesus' death? Of course not. It's way too valuable. That's nothing anybody's ever earned. So that's a good thing to remember, that God, out of his kindness, gives us everything, big or little, from the Holy Spirit, Christ. For him to make that sacrifice and give us the Holy Spirit is God's kindness. And then all the little things, too, that come. The breath in our lungs. So it's not because we've earned a reward, but it's because God likes to give good gifts to his children. He loves us. He cares about us. And he wants to give good gifts to us. And that's why we get these things. So be thankful in humility. And be thankful in God's grace. And be thankful. To be thankful, you hate to think of it this way, but to be thankful is a command from God. It's not just a rule to keep. A thankful heart can take the place of a sinner's heart. If you have lived on the other side, which pretty much all of us have, you know what it's like to go down the wrong road and to be sinful and to have the guilt and the grief because of that. Basically, he says you can trade that life for a life of thankfulness. God can come in and he can clean out the sin and he can say, I'm going to set up a new person, and you can trade sinfulness for thankfulness. And that's the command that he's commanding us to be thankful. And as a matter of fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, I'll explain this. Ephesians chapter 5 starts off, he says, imitate God. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. So he lists some of the sins that will separate you from God. And he says, instead of doing that, be thankful to God. Let your life be transformed and realize the gift that God has given you and the gifts that God continues to give you. And be thankful, not just by saying thanks, but by living a life that is void of all this sinful behavior. That's your thanks. Your thankfulness causes you to want to live life God's way. You're so thankful you've been saved, you've been washed by the blood, your life has been cleaned up, you've been made a new creation, and your thanks causes you to live your life for God from that point forward. Your thanks causes you to walk away from the sin and avoid it. Your thanks causes you to continue on a holy life and to walk that narrow path. Your thanks is what, it's a love motivation. It's not just because you're commanded to thank, to be thankful, so you're like, okay, I got to say thank you 20 times today. That's not how it works. What works is when you are so thankful out of God's love, you love him back by doing the right things. That's how it works. So you get the point. And a good question to ask is, with all this in mind, how was your Thanksgiving? How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a day focused on God? Is that how you spent it? Did you spend the holiday, the entire day, just in prayer and deep thanks for all the gifts that God has given you? Or was your Thanksgiving day wasted on on a stuffing your face and watching parades or football on TV, and the only time that you really spent with God was maybe the prayer before you ate. Was that how your Thanksgiving was spent? And how did this first day? I wonder, you know, I think about Thanksgiving, and we did Thanksgiving with our friends last night. I think it's funny. That's how you say it. You know, I know some of you have gone to different families' houses, and you do Thanksgiving in one place on one day, and then you do Thanksgiving in another place, and we did that too. We did Thanksgiving at our friend's house with our small group in Rochelle last night, and we did Thanksgiving at John and Sharon's with my family and their family all together on Thanksgiving Day. And it's like we've traded what Thanksgiving was supposed to be all about. I mean, it's a national holiday, and it was meant to, it was, you know, from the very beginning of our country, from the first Continental Congress said, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving Day because God has really blessed us. He's helped us to come together and to be a nation. So we're going to spend a day remembering that as a nation. We'll have a holiday set aside just to be thankful to God. And presidents, including the first president, George Washington, have backed that up. And they said, you know, we're going to remember this holiday and then have a day to be thankful to God. I mean, we should be thankful to God every day, but we decided to celebrate it as a nation because our nation was so blessed by God, and we when we had a government that we got out from under the tyranny of the old king, and we said, well, now we're free and we're able to live our lives, and we want to just say we're so thankful to God, and so let's spend a day doing that. How did that change from a national day to worship God and thank Him for all that He's done to a day of turkey? To a day where it's almost like we worship the turkey or the football players or the giant inflatable cartoon characters on the Macy's parade. And that's what we spend our time doing. If it wasn't enough to reduce a day of thankfulness to God to one short prayer before we eat, before we gorge ourselves, if that wasn't enough, we spend the next day Black Friday shopping. I mean, people get up at who knows what hour in the morning. Sometimes they camp overnight. And they spend the day serving themselves. I'm going to go out and spend all this money and serve myself and buy lots of presents for other people. And instead of it being, I mean, it's like anything but a humble thanks to God, where we just reflect on Him and we push and we shove and we get caught up in the stress and the angst and forget all about how thankful we are for all the good things that God has done. I'm not saying you can't enjoy turkey or do all the traditions, but it's like we've traded God for those things. We don't include God in the things that we do. Maybe the first question to ask is, do we even want to be thankful? Do we want to have the thankful heart that spends an entire day worshiping God in thanks? Do you have any desire to be ruled by thankfulness and humility in front of God? And rather than the discontent that we show when all we do is eat and shop, the greed, if you're not feeling very thankful, do you want to? Do you want to have a thankful heart? It's part and parcel of turning your heart to God and following Jesus. And I believe if you're a Christian, you can't help but want to thank Him. In Colossians chapter 2 at verse 6, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness." Have you ever noticed how much thankfulness is tied into being a Christian before? In fact, to be truly a Christian is to have a heart of thankfulness. I don't think you can separate the two. I don't think you can be a Christian and not be thankful for what God has done in your life. I don't see how you can pull them apart. In chapter 3 of Colossians, the next chapter, at verse 16, it says, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other about with all the wisdom that He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." If you don't have a heart of thanks, if it's not part of your character, then there's a disconnect from God. There's something you're missing. And it's because to know God, to truly know God, to be connected to Him, is to be full of thankfulness. If you don't know God, then obviously you understand why you don't feel very thankful. But if you know God, it's like, it's just an automatic. You can't help but be thankful if you truly know who he is and what he's done. And vice versa, the closer you are to God, the more thankful you become. If you don't know God, obviously you're not going to be very thankful. But the closer and closer you get to God, it's like the more thanks your heart is filled with. You become closer to God. And in the same way, as you decide to be more thankful, you draw closer to God. As you decide, this is the kind of person I want to be, it's like a mutual, it's like a synergistic kind of thing. The more thankful you get, the closer you come to God. And the closer you come to God, the more thankful you get. And it grows and grows. And Philippians 4 at verse 6 says, I'm sure you've heard this verse before, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Have you ever noticed that before? That the peace that passeth understanding is integral to our thankfulness to God. It's totally connected. And for everything he's done. And the opposite is logically true. In Romans 1, at verse 18, it says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. So this counts everybody on the planet. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Thankfulness is one of those things that is supposed to be an obvious basic of life. That thanking God, even the heathen ought to know it. Everybody in the world who can look at the sky and the earth and see the proof of who God is and the kind of God that we have ought to be given thanks. It ought to, and as a believer, it ought to be basic to your life. And if you're not living a life of thanks to God, you'll find yourself disconnected from God and eventually with a reprobate mind. Your mind will just go dark and distant from God as you aren't thankful, and you'll be pulled further and further into sin, and your life will just fall apart more and more and more. And it says that thanks, or not giving thanks, is an integral part of that. That giving thanks is just part of being a Christian. And people who don't thank God wind up with a spiritually handicapped brain. And it drives them farther and farther from the truth and farther from salvation. So even when it goes against your own desires, your own feelings, we are called to be thankful because it's what God desires, because it improves life. God wants a better life for you. In 1 Timothy at chapter 2, starts off, he says, I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior. I don't know if you've ever felt not very thankful for your government. Maybe. And this verse says, guess what? We're called to be thankful even when we don't feel like it. Even when we're not in the mood to be thankful. Thankfulness is like love. It doesn't stop when things get hard. True love never gives up. No matter what we face, no matter what we endure, love does not quit. And in the same way, thankfulness never quits. And that's why real thanks is not something you say or do, but it's who you are. It's not just words you repeat. True thanks is not a payment for a service or a gift that you get. True thanks is a natural byproduct of a life connected to Jesus. So if you're connected to Jesus, you can be thankful in every circumstance. If your personal life isn't going your way, if your government isn't doing what you want, you're still called to be thankful. And it's not just saying thank you to God. One of the best ways to thank God for all he has given or one of the best ways to thank God for all he's given is to tell the world about him. In Psalm chapter 9, back in the Psalms, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, and I will tell of all your wonders. And then Psalm 26, at verse 6, says, I shall wash my hands in innocence, and I will go about your altar, O Lord, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. You can fulfill the Great Commission through thankfulness. You can, if you have a thankful heart, share it with the world. Tell the world what you're thankful about. And thank the Lord by telling everybody about the good things he has done. When you're a witness, you're sharing your thanks with other people. And if you don't have a thankful heart, but would like one, ask God to help you. Because that's what he wants for you. He wants your life to be better, and he wants you to go and share that life and how it's improved with the rest of the world and tell them why you're so thankful. Commit to him, and he will commit to you. You make a decision. I'm going to go tell some people about what God has done, and God will help you. If you didn't have a very thankful heart and thanksgiving, if this doesn't describe you, if you've been having problems and you're feeling a little guilty now about how you spent Thanksgiving, why not plan on a thankful Christmas? We've still got a shopping season ahead of us that's supposed to be stressful, that people will spend focused on shopping rather than on thankfulness. We've still got Christmas, which can be a really hard time. Why not spend all this month in thankfulness, in worship to God, and sharing what you're thankful for to other people? And it will change your life. I mean, God changes your life for a reason. And he wants you to keep changing and keep growing and keep getting stronger and keep becoming more thankful and to have an improved life. So why not make it a commitment today, as you get closer and closer to Christmas, to teach yourself thankfulness, to make a choice. I'm gonna commit to God and be a thankful person. To thank him for whatever I have to go through. Even if things are difficult, I'm going to thank him for what I might learn from those difficulties. Why not make that commitment? And no matter what you get for Christmas, whether you like it or not, be thankful. And in Psalm, just a couple quick verses, a couple more Psalms. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to the Most High. Remember that verse. And then Psalm 100, that's an easy number to remember. Psalm 100 starts off, it says, shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues to forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. God is a great God, and he has blessed us with so many good things. Yeah, we face difficulties on this earth. We face trials and troubles and tribulations, and we'll continue to face them until we get to go be with God someday. But you know what? God sticks with us through it all. And God does use the bad things to help us to better our lives. He says God can take any bad thing and use it for good, no matter what happens. So be thankful that God will not let the bad things in your life go to waste. And look for the lessons you can learn. And look for the opportunities to be thankful to God and to tell other people why you're thankful to God. If you're having a hard time this season, remember Psalm 100. It's an easy number to remember. And those first five verses. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise. It's part of being a believer. Let your life be full of thanks this season. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are who you are, that you don't let us just be lost and alone, that's never what you wanted for us, that you never want us to have a life where we feel separate from you, where we feel discontent and unhappy and alone and hurt and shamed and grief-stricken and guilty, whatever it is that people go through. We know that that's not what you designed us for. You designed us for a good life, a life of joy. Let us remember that, God. Let us remember that you renew our lives so that we have things to be thankful for, that you give us so many good things. You give things, blessings to people whether they believe or not. You bless us. Help us to be thankful for that, God. Help us to be thankful people so that our lives can be improved, so that we can feel what it means to have the peace that goes beyond understanding through that thankfulness, God. It doesn't make sense sometimes, but it goes beyond our understanding. But we trust you, God, and we thank you that you can help our lives to be improved through thankfulness. Help us remember that this season. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.